Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach, April 19, 2014, 19 Nisan, 5774, Exodus 33:12 through 34:26, Devar Torah, A New Look at the Seder, by Robert Tornberg. As someone who has spent over 40 years as a Jewish educator, I have always been fascinated by the Pesach Seder. In fact, often I've said that it is the most perfect lesson plan ever created. The Seder, when planned and well done, is truly experiential education at its best. It makes use of all five senses, the imagination, the mind, both the right and the left sides of the brain, and the heart. I have seen this encounter engage toddlers, teens, university professors, Jews, non-Jews, parents, and grandparents all at the same time, speaking to each one at a level appropriate for that person. Furthermore, the Seder is not just an event that takes place and is then forgotten. Over the years, I've come to realize that people who know little about Jewish history or Torah can somehow draw on their Passover memories and tell the story of the Exodus with some credibility. In other words, the lesson plan is not simply entertaining and interesting, it works. Additionally, the Seder is not simply an educational success, it is also among the most popular American Jewish practices. According to the Pew Research Center survey of U.S. Jews, published in October 2013, 70% of American Jews participated in a Seder in that past year. So the Passover learning experience is of interest to large numbers of us. Another reality, however, is that while many of us find a way to partake of the Seder, most of us do not also avail ourselves of the opportunity to attend Pesach worship services, either on the holiday itself or on the Shabbat that occurs during the 7 or 8 days of the festival. Those who do not extend their Pesach observance to include these services, of course, do not hear the special Torah readings for the holiday. There is a Torah portion ascribed by tradition for each of the festival days, including the intermediate Shabbat. I would like to explore the Torah reading assigned for Shabbat Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Sabbath that occurs in the middle of Passover. This reading comes from the book of Exodus and is part of Parashat Ki Tisa. Included in this short section, we find Moses asking God to reveal God's self and God's essence to him, God's response to Moses' request, God's restoration of the covenant, the creation of a new set of tablets to replace the broken tablets, and some of the terms of the covenant. This latter section contains the commandment to observe three festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, providing the connection to the Shabbat that occurs during Passover. In reading this section of Torah this year, I found myself most interested in the portion in which God reveals God's self to Moses. When Moses says, "Oh, let me behold your presence," God responds as follows, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you the name Eternal, and the grace that I grant and the compassion I show," continuing, "but you cannot see my face, for a human being may not see me and live." And the Eternal said, "See, there is a place near me. Station yourself on the rock, and as my presence passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and shield you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Clearly, a passage such as this has elicited much commentary over the centuries. While some have argued that this anthropomorphic vision of God is literal, I find that the comments of Ibn Ezra and Gersonides make the most sense to me. Both of them argue that this revelation is metaphorical. According to Gersonides, "My back means the events that I leave in my wake." Ibn Ezra makes it clear that, while Torah often speaks of God in human terms, God has no face, back, or mouth. He quotes Saadia, who says that seeing God's back means you will see the end of my light, but you cannot see its beginning. In other words, God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and let him see God's back in order to teach him, and I believe us, that while we cannot see God directly, as God has no body, we can see God through God's acts in the world. In fact, if we pay attention to God's creation, we cannot help but see God in the miracle of breathing, the connections we feel to those we love, in the beauty of a sunset or a snow-capped mountain peak, in the birth of a baby or the quiet death of an elderly person, in the face of a friend. In fact, there is nothing in our experience that is alien from experiencing God if we choose to perceive the world in that way. The problem is, however, that we don't usually make that choice. We don't regularly tune in. This brings me back to the Seder. Is it possible that this assigned portion of Torah is there to suggest that the experience at the Passover table is actually designed to push us toward recognition of God in our midst? Could it be that the Seder puts us metaphorically in the cleft of a rock so we pay attention to all the hints of God's actual presence? Is the Seder not just a lesson plan, but also a chance to use our senses to hear sweet music, see the faces of those we love, taste and smell the foods that God created, touch the many shapes and textures of the ritual items, and understand the miracles that God performed for our ancestors and for us? All of these are manifestations of God. I don't know why I read this familiar section of the Torah with fresh eyes this year, but from now on, I will not only view the Seder as a model of how to learn about our past, but I will also see it as an opportunity to connect even more closely to God as I focus on all the wonderful acts God has performed in order to give us a pathway to God's very presence. Robert Tornberg, RJE, is a Jewish educator with nearly 40 years of experience in synagogue schools, day schools, and as the education director at Delet at Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, currently completing the dissertation for his PhD in Educational Administration and Program Evaluation. He plans to develop an independent consulting practice focusing on program evaluation and professional development for Jewish schools, synagogues, and other organizations.